Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Our final hour of the week. I'm in a great mood. My team has advanced past the first round of the NCAA tournament. I haven't been able to say that for a long time. In fact, as long as I've been at this radio station, I have never been able to say that. This is the first time you've ever heard me say that. I've been able to tell you that the Royals have won the World Series. I've been able to tell you that the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. I've been able to tell you that I believe the Kansas City Chiefs are a dynasty. I've told you Kansas is national champions. I've never been able, the entire time that I've been on The Drive, I've never been able to tell you that Missouri is in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That brings me great joy. That brings me great pleasure to be able to tell you that. Let me go through the scores. UConn 46, Iona 41. Rob, that's a game that we'll keep an eye on here between now and the end of the show. You actually have Iona. That's your sleeper. That's your team you got making a little bit of run in this thing.
Ricky P and the boys. Fun fact about that game, I have it on back here. At one point they came back from break, just zoomed in on someone's engagement ring. Wonder why.
I don't know why. What's the
Rick Pitino's coaching?
Oh.
I don't think CBS was very sly with that one.
Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I pick up what you're putting down there. I didn't for a second, but I now pick it up. Let me go through some scores here really quickly. Pittsburgh 59, Iowa State 41. That's the final. Let's go through these final shooting numbers for Iowa State. Iowa State today was 14 of 60 from the field. 14 of 60 from the field. They were 2 of 21 from the three-point line. They scored 41 points in today's game, which we can make fun of Iowa State, and believe me, I will make fun of Iowa State. Pittsburgh also was terrible today. The difference in this game was that Pittsburgh was 25 of 29 from three, and Iowa State, or from the free throw line, Iowa State was 11 from 19 from the free throw line. So those 14 points ended up being the major difference in this game on why Pittsburgh is advancing and why Iowa State not going home. Do you think Iowa State fans just booed the entire time? Because I've never known an Iowa State fan not to boo. But when your team shoots 2 for 21 from three, I'm not really sure how much you can boo the officials. A lot of that has to start with you guys. You guys didn't do enough today.
I mean, Iowa State fans do boo a lot. They rarely boo their own team. But if you're 2 of 29, you might have to catch a little boo on the boo birds from the home team. I mean, that's horrible basketball. But you know who loses out more than anyone? City of Kansas City, because now Hilton Magic is not coming to Sprint Center. It's going to be Houston and Texas and Pitt. It's going to be great for the city.
I can't wait. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to be there. Pittsburgh is up. Pittsburgh won 59-41. Creighton 72-63 over NC State. Marquette 78-61 over Vermont. Baylor today won 74-56 over UC Santa Barbara. The game of the day was Xavier against Kennesaw State. That was a 72-67 win for the Musketeers. St. Mary's 63, VCU 51. And Tom Izzo's squad, the Michigan State Spartans, they win 72-61. It's been a pretty day in the NCAA tournament. Like, if you haven't watched today, you didn't really miss a whole lot. Like, just go on YouTube right now and watch the last, 45 seconds of the Xavier game, and you will have seen all the entertainment action of today in the NCAA tournament. It was just not really a great day in the NCAA tournament. We'll see if tonight's a little bit different. We'll see if tonight's a lot more entertaining. We've got this UConn-Iona game that's pretty competitive right now. We get the night games cracking here in a little bit. Purdue plays Fairleigh Dickinson. That comes up at 5:50. Kentucky-Providence, Miami against Drake, Gonzaga against Grand Canyon. I think that game could be oddly fun. Memphis against Florida Atlantic. K-State plays tonight. They play Montana State, Indiana-Kent State, and the final game tonight, TCU against Arizona State. TCU is a 5-point favorite in that game. That game is being played in Denver, Colorado. So that is the rest of the slate for today. Rob, let's eliminate the K-State-Montana State game. Is there a game you're most looking forward to tonight?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say Kentucky versus Providence.
Yeah, that's on my list too.
Kentucky's a team that we've talked about them a lot. They kind of are Arkansas-ish in the fact that they have loads of talent. They really do. They have Toppin who can score, and they have Oscar Tshiebwe, who was player of the year last year. They are a very talented roster, but I can't figure them out. They're up and they're down. They're hot and they're cold. They're yes and they're no. They're all the Katy Perry things. So I would say that one against Providence, a team that could be salty, is probably my game of the night to watch. And you know, obviously then there's the local ramification of K-State could be playing them on the back half. So yeah, Kentucky Providence, my game.
Someone says, C-Dot, why are you not on your way to Sacramento? I mean, I'll be at the next round if they go. They're in Louisville. Oh, I'll be there if they're in the Sweet 16. Oh, I'll be there. But this round of 32, you know, I'm happy watching on television. I don't mind. I don't mind watching it on the TV tomorrow. I was actually thinking this. It's a good topic to get us kicked off before we get to the hits today. 913-586-7610. Is Missouri now the most hated team in the NCAA tournament? This is why. We know America supports the underdog. That's the whole purpose of this tournament, is for people to get behind Cinderella, for people to get behind the double-digit seed that could potentially make a run in the NCAA tournament. It's to get behind teams like Princeton. Tomorrow, whenever Missouri plays Princeton, every person that doesn't cheer for Missouri will be cheering for Princeton. It's not like, you know, a casual Missouri fan. It's not like Duke, you know, somebody that doesn't really keep up, but then when the NCAA tournament, they just magically appear and they just start cheering for Duke and they act like they've been a lifelong fan of the team. Nobody is a bandwagon Missouri fan. No one's a fair weather Missouri fan and just Johnny come lately to the party. If you're cheering for Missouri tomorrow, it's because you've been down with Mizzou. Is Missouri the most hated team now in the NCAA tournament? Now, let's remove Alabama, because your reason for hating Alabama is not a basketball reason. Let's keep this basketball here for the sake of this conversation, Rob. I think we can now say that tomorrow it's a us against the world mentality for the Missouri Tigers. No one wants to see Missouri win tomorrow. No one wants to see the 7 seed beat the 15 seed. Everybody wants Princeton to win. They'll be the darling of the tournament. They'll be the new St. Peter's. Everybody will love Princeton. Their coach will be on every channel. That's not going to be the case if Missouri wins. They're not going to be anybody's Cinderella. They're not going to be anybody's belle of the ball. Missouri might be the most hated team left in this tournament.
I think the most hated non-traditional blue blood left. I know that's adding a caveat and, you know, going into full backpedal about your question, but I still think Duke, because of the name it carries and the Blue Devil and the whole deal, is a more traditional hated team by people in America. I think if Kentucky wins tonight, Coach Calipari and Kentucky are going to carry that hate wagon. I think Kansas, with all their success, carries a lot of hate. But if we remove the Blue Bloods, which carry the hate all the time from America, they just don't want to see those teams succeed other than their fan bases. I think the most hated team in America, non-Alabama, non-Blue Blood edition, is the Missouri Tigers, because at this time tomorrow will be tip off. Do you know what America is going to be wanting? The nerds to rise up and beat Missouri. America wants a second year of a row of a 15 seed rising up and making the Sweet 16. That is what people watch this tournament for, not the 7 seed of Missouri Tigers that catch an easy break. And I'm not even saying this as a KU fan of Mizzou hater. I think tomorrow at tip, which I believe is 5:10, is going to be a hate-a-palooza for Mizzou because it's Princeton, and Princeton is America's darling.
I love it. I love the us against the world mentality for Dennis Gates and the boys. That's what I live for, to crush everybody else's dreams. You want to hop on Princeton as Cinderella? No. Their run ends here. Great win. Good win. There ain't nothing wrong with them. That's a good win for Princeton. Congratulations to Princeton. But now you got to go up against a real juggernaut, Rob, tomorrow, which is the 7-seeded, 4th best team in the SEC this year, the Missouri Tigers.
Well, no one has ever called them a juggernaut. Let's settle
they
down.
They used to be a juggernaut.
When was Missouri basketball a juggernaut?
They were a 2-seed not that long ago.
That was a singular season. That is not juggernaut material. Stop okay, it.
Well, all right.
You know what you're doing? I'm going to quote you here.
Context. I don't know why you got to do all that.
I'm going to quote C-Dot here. You got too much dip for the chip.
You got way too much dip on your chip. You know what? I apologize. You know what? I'm very optimistic about tomorrow, which normally that means bad things for me. But it's not like Princeton was not great yesterday by any means. Princeton was 4-for-25 from the three-point line yesterday. 4-for-25. That's not a team that you think is just going to go in and shoot the lights out. That's just not the team that you think is going to do so. They didn't really play that well yesterday. Arizona just played really, really poorly. That's not taking anything away from Princeton. And you're the 15 seed and you beat the 2 seed. Congratulations. I feel good. I feel optimistic. I'm hopeful. It's rare that I'm hopeful about Missouri athletics. But, Rob, right now I'm hopeful about Mizzou heading into tomorrow's matchup against Princeton. They're not the only team that plays tomorrow locally here. Kansas plays tomorrow. They play Arkansas. I think Arkansas is getting a little bit too much credit. And maybe I've given them a lot of credit, too. Because I think if you look at the history of the tournament, it's a lot of teams like Arkansas in an individual bracket that's the team that has the capability of going on the run. And I think there's a lot of individual talent on Arkansas. Like, I think Arkansas can match talent-wise with Kansas. And there's not a lot of teams I think you can say that about in college basketball. But Arkansas, let's take Valentine's Day. I would say they played a handful of teams that people would think are good. Texas A&M this year. Probably didn't watch a lot of Texas A&M, but they actually finished 2nd in the SEC this year. Texas A&M was not a bad team. They lost to them. Alabama, best team in the country. They beat Arkansas. Tennessee beat Arkansas. Kentucky beat Arkansas. A&M played them again in the SEC tournament and beat them. Arkansas just hasn't really had a stretch of basketball where they've really put it together and shown you that they have the ability to actually beat a team like Kansas. Could they be competitive tomorrow? Sure. I think they will be competitive. But I'm looking at the line right now, which is 3.5. I think that's a little bit disrespectful to Kansas. This to me feels like a game in which Kansas should be a 5.5-point favorite, maybe a 6.5-point favorite. I think KU is maybe in a little bit of trouble. Arkansas can match them athletically. But down the stretch, it's just very obvious which team is better than the other team. And Kansas wins between by about 6 to 8 points. That feels like how tomorrow's game plays itself out.
I get that feel. I'm all for it. I mean, how many times have we seen in the second round or a close game in the tournament with Kansas? It feels like it's back and forth. There's maybe an athletic gap, but, you know, Kansas stays in the game. And then down the stretch, coaching really gets highlighted. And that's when KU kind of pulls away. Against Carolina, I would say that's an example. I don't think they had better suit. Clearly superior talent to Carolina last year. They still won that game. I have other examples, but I think one of the reasons why I think KU fans and myself are a little bit hesitant to buy into what you're saying is historically that has been the case, but historically Bill Self's been on the sideline. And we, to this juncture in time, do not know the deal with Bill Self and his coaching tomorrow. Me and you both think he's probably coaching, but Nick Schwartz, before he hung up on him, did say he doesn't know and he wouldn't be shocked if you didn't see him. Bill Self is the great equalizer when Kansas is up against a team that is probably superior in talent. They might not have the great equalizer on Saturday, excuse me. So I wonder how much that plays into our logic and how we think about the team.
No, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. And maybe that's the difference in this game to me being a little closer than I think I actually anticipate the game being. I think it's going to be one of the better games of the weekend. Like, I think they're two pretty even talent-wise. I think there's a lot of talent on Arkansas, but we see a lot of teams, like, for every team that sort of figures it out the way that North Carolina did last year. Like, North Carolina figured it out late. They went on a run, and they went to the national championship. For every team like North Carolina, there's 5 to 8 teams like Arkansas that have a lot of the same pieces, a lot of the same talent, yet it never comes together for the season. That they beat a team like Illinois, you get all excited, you think this is the game, you think this is the moment, and then they go out and they lose 82-70 to Kansas, and no one ever talks about that season for Arkansas because they didn't do anything. I think that's much more in play tomorrow for Arkansas than right now. If you're telling me these are the two options, Arkansas outright wins the basketball game or Kansas wins by more than 4 points, I would take Kansas to win by more than 4 points, and that's sort of what the line is indicative of. I think it's far more likely that Kansas wins by 5 or more points than Arkansas just straight up wins yesterday or tomorrow. I do expect KU to win tomorrow.
I, as a KU fan, am terrified because the athleticism that Arkansas holds, but you've been staying on this show and maybe you've been setting up KU up for the fall. Since the last holiday we had, which would have been Valentine's Day, they've been extremely average, but they just have all the makings. I would have said that about a lot of teams that Eric Musselman's coached. They have all the makings, they just never put it together. They always put it together this time of year. I wonder what happens tomorrow. Nick Smith is a star. He versus Grady Dick will be a lot of fun, but it's a matter of, we talked about earlier, can you have two dudes step up? Grady Dick against Nick Smith, probably a wash, a little bit of advantage Arkansas. If KU can get good Jalen Wilson and a third player step up, I feel they get that win that you're talking about and maybe even cover the way you're talking about.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you're too happy about this. This is going to go poorly for you, my man. I mean, it probably will. Like, I'm not going to deny that. It probably will go poorly. But I think there's a difference between being disappointed and being disappointing. Like, tomorrow, Missouri can disappoint me in losing to Princeton. It's certainly possible. Like, it's the NCAA tournament. Princeton goes out there. They play well. Missouri gets into foul trouble. Kobe Brown doesn't play well. Like, I can give you a lot of scenarios and ways in which Missouri loses tomorrow. But every year, someone wins the basketball lottery. Last year, the basketball lottery was St. Peter's. St. Peter's went on, you could argue, the greatest run we'd ever seen in the NCAA tournament. They were a 15 seed, and they got to the Elite Eight. And I don't have the entire last year bracket, but there was definitely an 11 seed that made the Sweet 16. There was a 7 seed that made it. Like, we all watch this tournament. Every year, there's a team like Missouri that makes a little bit of a run. They win one or two games. They then get beat by a team that's clearly better than them. They lose to Baylor in the third round, and you think, hey, you had a really productive season, but this is where it ends. So that's kind of the mindset that I have for this team. Like, the tournament allows you to dare to dream a little bit. It allows you the opportunity to dare to dream. I thought Missouri was going to play Arizona. I think Arizona was going to beat Missouri. Like, I don't think Missouri matches up very well against Arizona because of the size that they have. Princeton did the dirty work, and Arizona's out of the NCAA tournament. I think Missouri will probably lose to Baylor. Like, Baylor is just a more talented, more skilled version. I think they have a better coach. I think they have more talent. I think they played in a more competitive conference than Missouri this year. But that doesn't mean that Baylor beats Creighton and advances in the next round of the NCAA tournament. Like, that's why we watch. So I think the tournament, just by definition, it allows you the opportunity to dream a little bit. And you start to see the bracket for your team fall in such a way that gives you the hope that maybe your team can make a little bit of a run in the NCAA tournament. This story ends with Missouri losing. I don't know what round they lose in, but I'm not naive enough to think that they can actually win this entire thing. But we've seen lesser teams than Missouri go on runs every single year in the NCAA tournament. And eventually, you hope that one of those runs happens for your team. I know it doesn't happen if you're Kansas. Like, you just have a chance to win every single year. But your K-State with Jacob Pullin, and you end up playing the 15 seed, and you end up making a run to the Elite Eight. I mean, those runs happen every single year. And hopefully, at least for me, I hope that year, I hope this year that team's Missouri.
So you're saying, and I kind of agree with you, you're saying there's no way that tomorrow you look back at the season in Missouri if they do lose and say, this was a disappointment. You'll say, no matter what, even a loss tomorrow, this was a successful season. Maybe you don't say it tomorrow because you're in the moment and a 15 seed could have potentially beaten you and you don't have that moment of clarity. But you're saying if we had a college basketball conversation in May, which I can't imagine we would, but let's just say we did.
Or we might.
I mean, we won't be talking about the Royals by May. That's
very possible.
We got to have time. You'll come back in May on May 15th or whatever. That's usually when the Royal season ends, and say something like, you know what? Missouri was a successful season, even if they lose to the 15 tomorrow. Even with the loss, you're saying you cannot be disappointed with this season.
That's what I would say. Missouri had 8 sellout basketball games this year. They won 12 games last year. They had 8 sellout basketball games this year. It wasn't just the Kansas game that was popping. It was a bunch of other games that was popping too this year. They finished higher in the SEC than they ever have before. This is the first year in which they won a tournament game in the SEC. So, I mean, you could argue this is the best year Missouri basketball has had in 15 years. I understand in 2011 they were a better regular season team. They got the 2 seed. I get all of that. You could argue that this year was the best Missouri basketball season in 15 years. I find it hard to believe that something could happen tomorrow that erases the run that they've been on so far. But you certainly can be disappointed if they lose tomorrow. Missouri is going to play the worst team left in the NCAA tournament. By seeding, by RPI, by net, by KenPom, whatever metric you want to put, Missouri is playing the worst remaining team tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. You don't get those chances all the time either. You got to find a way to cash those ones. You get to the second round, and you get past the second round, you get to the Sweet 16, and then who knows what happens. You play Baylor in a neutral site basketball game. You can beat Baylor. Now, Baylor can obviously very easily beat you, but you can beat Baylor. You just start to dream a little bit. So, no, I don't think there's a situation in which their season can be disappointing based on so many of the boxes that they've already checked. But you certainly can be disappointed if they lose to the 15 seed, a team in Princeton who – it's not like Princeton was even the best Ivy League team this year. Princeton was one of the teams that was pretty okay for most of the year, got hot at the right time, won their conference tournament, and made the tournament, and now have a chance to make something of themselves. In that run, go beat them tomorrow, and you get 4 or 5 days of everybody patting Dennis Gates on the back, how great of a hire it was, how great of a season it was, and you use this momentum to continue recruiting better and better players. That's what I hope happens for Missouri.
I hope that Missouri does that just for strictly show content. I'd love all 3 locals made the Sweet 16.
Oh, for sure. That's not the best show content.
I disagree.
The best show content would be if Missouri goes further in the tournament than Kansas. Because I'm telling you, if you've ever thought I was annoying, imagine a world in which Missouri, which has never happened, at least not while I've been doing this show. Imagine a world in which Missouri is further along in the NCAA tournament than Kansas. Oh, Monday will be one for the books. Oh, Monday will be an incredible show if that happens.
I mean, I would say the best for content is Missouri to lose to a 15 and KU to win another national title.
No, that would not be the best.
That would be the best.
That would be the worst possible.
If we're going to rank it, that's 1. 2 is all 3 teams make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. That's how I'd rank it, 1 and 2. I think when Missouri, I want to get ahead of this because I know what's going to happen by other fan bases in town when Missouri inevitably wins against the 15 seed on Saturday. And it's something Missouri fans have been saying about Kansas for about 12 months now. You can only control who you play. There is nothing else they can do because you know as well as I do, Twitter and social media are going to be on a rampage telling Mizzou fans that they got lucky, they didn't have to play anyone, bracket broke right, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that the reason we love the tournament? Isn't games like a 7 versus 15 the reason we tune in? We don't want to see 7 versus 2. Not that we dislike it, but we tune in for these days. But I feel like we, in the moment, like, oh, 7 versus 15 is so awesome. I'm happy this is happening. And then we turn around once that game's over and be like, well, see, well, the 7's not really that good. Let's just discount them because they played a 15. Missouri can only control what they can control. They did not take They did take care of business against Utah State, and now they take care of business against Princeton, and that's a Sweet 16 team.
Coming up on the other side today, we were joined by someone from Mizzou, someone from KU, and someone from K-State. We'll play a cut from each of them. We'll also update you on all the scores and happenings in the NCAA tournament. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the favorite show of Chiefs general manager Brett Veach.
Enjoy listening to your show on my drive home.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
You know, I learned something today. You know how you say something so long that you don't even really know where it starts? So, we all say March Madness. Like, it is trademarked. Like, I do those FanDuel reads. I cannot say March Madness because the NCAA has a trademark on it. I've never once thought of, well, who is the first person to say that? Who is the first person to call it that? I never thought about it. Well, today I finally got the answer. Brent Musburger is the one who came up with the term March Madness. Here's him telling the story.
It was a late one Thursday evening after the opening games, and I said, we had a couple of big upsets late that night out of the West Coast, and I said, folks, this is madness. This is March Madness. Now, where it came from, I didn't just pull it out of thin air. But when I was a newspaper man and a broadcaster back in Chicago, when I started, there was a car dealer who was always close to the state high school basketball tournament in the state of Illinois. It was a big, big deal. In fact, the state high school basketball tournament at that time in Indiana and Illinois was actually bigger than the college tournament. And he referred to it in an ad that ran in our paper, the Chicago's American, as March Madness. And he would print the games. But then, of course, underneath he would have, his car sales for March. That was all part of March Madness. And that stuck with me when I went to the network. Well, they wanted to copyright it. The NCAA wanted to copyright it. And the state of Illinois alerted them that they had used March Madness before they had. So obviously the attorneys came to me and asked me. And I said, listen, I said, that definitely was started by the state of Illinois and their downstate high school basketball tournament.
Look at that. I had absolutely no clue. Did you know that story, Rob? I learned that story today about March Madness and where the term came from. If you've ever seen the documentary Hoop Dreams, you know about the importance of making the high school basketball tournament in the state of Illinois and going downstate and how important it is and how big of a deal it is in order to make the high school basketball tournament in Illinois. If you've ever seen that documentary before, I had no clue. I wanted to share that story with you guys because I didn't know. I had no clue where March Madness had come from. I'm happy that Brent Musburger shared that story this morning today on the Rich Eisen Show. Speaking of college basketball, let's go through these three teams here. Let's start with Kansas. They're the best team out of these three. We had Nick Schwert on the show earlier today. We asked him if he thinks Bill Self's going to be on the sideline tomorrow. Here was his answer.
Bill Self has made one public appearance, and it was a 3-minute video with Greg Gurley on the KU social media channel. He hasn't appeared before media at all, even though Norm Roberts and the players have said that he's been at practice and he's been his normal self and he was getting on guys. I believe all of that. But nobody has seen Bill Self interacting with the team publicly. That is very telling to me. It tells me that he is, and again, I'm speculating here, that he is probably trying to work himself back into the mix, but that he doesn't feel comfortable going all in as being the frontward facing face of this team. That's Norm Roberts right now. I get it. Like, Bill Self is still Kansas basketball, but they had a media availability today and Bill Self didn't talk. That was Norm Roberts. It would seem odd to me that he's not, for whatever reason, able to make a media appearance, but 2 hours later, he's going to be able to coach a basketball team for 40 minutes.
I think that's a really good observation by Nick. Today, they do a media availability, and Bill Self didn't make the media availability. They sent the assistant coach out there. Now, maybe, you know, they're trying to keep people guessing about what's going to happen. I don't know one way or the other. I haven't really inquired to know about Bill Self's health. I'll just find out when everybody else does. I still think Kansas is getting a little bit disrespected in terms of what the line is because of this situation right now with Bill Self. I think they should be a 5-point favorite, maybe a 5.5-point. They're only a 3.5-point favorite against Arkansas. I do think Self not being there has some effect on how the public currently feels about KU. It's really simple for me. I think KU has been one of the three best teams in the country the entire year in college basketball. I think the three best teams are Alabama, Houston, and Kansas. I think it's been that way since November. I think those have been the three best teams. Arkansas has never been in that grouping. They've never been close to that grouping. And I think we see that bear itself out tomorrow in their matchup. I'm looking right now, and Rob, the higher seeded team right now is 18-5 so far in the NCAA tournament, 6-1 today. The team that is the higher seed, 18-5 so far in this tournament. So very, very chalky so far in the NCAA tournament. That's about to improve because UConn is up 75-59 right now over the Iona Gales. Today has not been a great day for the tournament. It has not been a great day for the tournament. It hasn't been the madness. There hasn't been the upsets. Hasn't been the fun finish. There's been one good basketball game so far today in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully the night sessions. We got two more rounds of games tonight. We got 8 more games coming up. Hopefully they're a little bit better. But today has not been a great NCAA tournament day. Nothing memorable has happened.
No, and I mean, of those 5 upsets, one was Pitt over Iowa State. So that doesn't really count because Pitt shot under 30% from the field. They just ran into Iowa State. It has been, I've been wrong thus far. I talked about on Wednesday that I think this, because college basketball doesn't have that creme de la creme, that A1 team, watch out for these guys, that we'd see a lot of madness. And, you know, the field would be pretty even between, you know, teams 7 through 68, and you could see some wild stuff happening. But outside of an almost fun finish with Kennesaw State, it has been a chock-a-thon over in the NCAA tournament. Hopefully we get some fun tonight, or at least some good basketball games. Not only has it been chalky, the game's been boring and chalky. I mean, UConn, who I thought might lose, was up by 17 with 5 minutes to go. That's chalk and boring.
Let's go to K-State here. John Kurtz was on the show earlier. Kurtz talked about how K-State is using some of the upsets yesterday to their advantage.
One thing I will add, interestingly enough, is you mentioned, you know, watching these other teams get upset, the pressure can set in. Jerome Tang made this point that he was actually thrilled to be playing on Friday as opposed to Thursday because he felt like, in his experience, it's been better when the team gets to sit around and watch games on Thursday and see teams go down and get upset because it sinks in more for them. You know, that you've got to bring the kind of urgency that this absolutely could be your last day, and that it's different watching it actually happen on that Thursday instead of just hearing your coach tell you, like, hey, you got to be careful and prepare because this could happen. So Jerome Tang actually really likes the fact, back to your original question, that they are playing in the spot that they're at.
I understand what Kurtz is talking about. I understand from a coaching perspective too, how, you know, you got college kids, you know who you're going up against, and you don't play, you know, up to the certain level, and how that could get you beat. I don't know how you could watch this tournament over the last 30 years and think that you're ever safe in it. You know what I mean? And that's no disrespect towards Kansas State. I think Kansas State can make a Final Four run, but K-State could definitely lose today in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Like, it's the tournament. Like, I get why, you know, you need those reminders, kind of like we talk about trap games in the NFL. Hey, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you can lose to anybody. With the way college basketball is right now, if you don't bring your A game, you can get beat. Yeah, you can get beat, man. You can very, very easily lose in the NCAA tournament. So if that's what K-State thinks they need, you got to show them, hey, look at what happened to Arizona. Look at what happened to Virginia. That could very easily be us, then more power to you. But I think we all know that the tournament is very, very random. It is very, very random. We called up with Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com earlier today. I asked him if the Tigers are playing with house money.
The game on Thursday, like, even if Missouri had lost on Thursday, it would have been hard to say you were disappointed with the season. But I thought Thursday was the one that took it from, hey, this has been a fun year that was better than everybody expected, to, okay, you can't possibly ask any more of this team. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't hope and expect to beat the 15 seed in the second round. But regardless of what happens on Saturday, to me, this is like, if Missouri goes on to be what people want it to be, if Dennis Gates goes on what people want him to be, I think this is kind of the one you're going to look back at and say, you know, maybe that's not the team that got us where we wanted to be, but that's sure the team that started it.
I was Gabe DeArmond earlier today joining us. If you want to check out any of those interviews, be sure to do so over at the podcast page, 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get podcasts from. A little bit of a gambling note for those of you that are into that. The unders have hit in every single game so far today. So if you were running a parlay right now with the unders, you would be in a very good situation. The under so far in the NCAA tournament is 20-7. So a lot of low scoring college basketball games so far in the NCAA tournament. We'll close this thing out coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Rob, before we get out of here, let me tell you guys, A, about our podcast. Rob and I have a podcast. It's called Bad Movies, Worst Opinions, where we watch movies that are rated below a 6.0 or worse on IMDb. Our current episode is about the movie Spring Breakers. We release a new episode every Tuesday. We have another episode coming out here in a couple of days. That movie is on Daredevil. Daredevil is the next movie that we've done. It's on HBO Max if you want to watch it. So Denzel Washington right now, he is in talks. Gladiator 2, starring Denzel Washington. Is this something that you'd be interested in? I'm really surprised, A, that they want to make a second Gladiator movie, given how long it is since the first one. And I'm really surprised that Denzel Washington is the one they're asking to do this. This doesn't seem like the Denzel movie to play. This seems like the Tom Hardy movie to play, does it not? Denzel Washington's going to be the Gladiator? Whose idea is this?
Is he playing the Gladiator, or is he just going to be in the Gladiator? Because if he plays Russell Crowe's character, that I don't know would work.
I mean, Denzel's not going to be the star of the movie. Like, I hear you. Who else is in the movie? But I'm saying, you think Denzel signs up for a movie in which he's not the main character? What movie can we even think of that's the case? Now, he might have a co-lead. Like, he did Fences with Viola Davis and, you know, I mean, all of that. I mean, there's other movies we can point to, but I just can't see a scenario in which Denzel signs up to do a movie and he's not the main character.
I mean, I agree with you, but, like, maybe it's like a co-star deal where we get, like, I know Joaquin Phoenix, who played the king, I guess, was. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. The guy, it's, you know, I could see him being a co-star and, you know, maybe dig deeper into his story, and Denzel handles that, and a Tom Hardy handles the actual Gladiator. But how old is Denzel? 50? If you're going to get a 50-year-old to play the Gladiator, just bring back Russell Crowe at that point. What are we waiting on?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Last night, after all the tournament games went over, I watched The Bodyguard again. Have you seen The Bodyguard lately?
No.
It's just such a good movie.
I saw The Equalizer recently, speaking of Denzel.
Yeah, just such a good movie. I rewatched it last night, and just Whitney Houston's amazing. Kevin Costner, like, you want to talk about a movie star. Just Kevin Costner's incredible in that movie. The soundtrack is good. The movie's good. It's a lot of action. Bodyguard's one of the best movies of all time. Certainly one of the best movies of the 90s.
Well, that... Whoa.
Yes, The Bodyguard... It's
that went from complimentary about a good film to one of the best movies of all time.
It's one of the best movies.
So you're thinking
it's
like,
just a good, fun movie.
It's good and fun, and I'm not going to say anything bad about it. It's not
it's
a bad film.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Best
not
movie
every
of all
movie
time?
Has to be some Oscar award winning artsy kind of movie. It's just a real, you don't know anybody that doesn't like The Bodyguard. It's just a good movie.
No, it's a good movie, but you're going to say one of the best of all time.
It's
like
one
it's
of the best movies I've ever seen.
Like it's Forrest Gump, Shawshank, or
okay,
Goodfellas.
Well, that's okay, well, that's the high end. Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the Hall of Fame, and Eli Manning are going to be in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He just isn't Patrick Mahomes. The Bodyguard is one of the best movies. It's just not The Godfather. I thought that was an understood here in this. I'm not saying that it's not saying it's Goodfellas. I don't think it's that. We could definitely... I don't know if you could find 25 movies from the 90s better than The Bodyguard, though. I don't know if you could do it.
I mean, well, Goodfellas would be one of them.
Yeah, no, Goodfellas is on there.
Toy Story?
Yeah.
It's going through Tom Hanks. I think it wasn't Forrest Gump in the 90s.
Hold on, let's look at top grossing movies from the 90s.
I bet The Bodyguard's not one of the top grossing ones.
I looked it up. It did $411 million in the box office.
Much better than I thought.
It was actually number two that year behind Aladdin. I looked it up last night because I'm a big watch the movie, then go on Wikipedia and read about it.
I didn't know that about you.
It's just a really good movie. Just a phenomenal movie. The soundtrack might be better than the movie. That's saying a lot. And the movie's incredible.
Well, that's because Whitney Houston's in the movie.
Yeah, she just does. I'm just going to sing. They will go back and watch it. They play I Have Nothing 8 times over the course of the movie.
Play the hits.
No, oh, yeah.
Give the people what they
want.
I'm
just going to show you that Whitney can sing. That's what I'm going to show you. I'm just going to show you. This week was a lot of fun, man. It's kind of, I'm not going to say it's weird, but it's like so basketball, then the basketball just ends, and I'm like, oh, yeah, baseball's here. And that's what's about to happen. Hopefully, we just keep getting more weeks of talking about good basketball, and then we'll start all our Royals conversation. Vern will be back, and I'm excited to talk to Jake Eisenberg. It's been a while since we talked to him. I'm excited to talk to him. All right, we're out of here. Dusty's up next. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home. Have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.